There was a man riding home on his donkey while his boy walked beside him. And then a traveler came along and said, "Father, it is not right for you to ride while you make your son walk. You have stronger legs." So the father climbed up the donkey and let his son ride the donkey. Another traveler came along and said, "Boy, it is not right for you to ride while you make your dad walk. You have younger legs." So they both mounted the donkey, and another traveler came along and said, "How stupid are you guys? Two fellows on one weak animal. Don't you have pity on that donkey?" So they both climbed off, and all three went along on foot. And a fourth traveler came along and said, "You are three strange companions. Wouldn't it be easier if one of you would ride?" So they were so fed up by criticisms. No matter what they do, they were criticized. So the father tied the donkey's front legs, while his son tied the donkey's back legs together. And then they grabbed the pole that was beside the road, and then they put it in between the legs of the donkey, and they carried it home on their shoulders. That's how far it can go if one tries to please everyone, right? Criticisms on all sides. And if you want to please them, you will end up carrying those burdens. No matter what you do, you cannot please everyone. Do you agree with me? Even if you do good things or good works, even if you are doing the will of God, it's not a guarantee that you will please everybody. Even if you follow Christ as his disciple, sometimes you are criticized, you are scrutinized, and in worst case, sometimes you will be rejected and ridiculed. Do you agree? Have you ever been criticized or ridiculed for doing the will of God, for following him? Nehemiah chapter 4 opens with the walls of Jerusalem being rebuilt while the enemy was gathering its forces to hinder Nehemiah's plan. As we study this chapter, it is obvious that the enemy's tactics have not changed since Nehemiah's day. That is why Nehemiah, and together with the Jews, they were so determined that no one but God would stop the work. It was God's will to rebuild the wall and the gates of Jerusalem. And anyone in opposition to that goal was in opposition to God. It started with verbal attack. The passage that we read from 1 on to verse 11, but in verse 12 to 13, it ended up to possible, potential physical attack. The more intense the attack, the more they prepared. He did not give up easily. He stood firm, trusted God, and continued his desire of rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem. Whether it's verbal, physical, they were prepared. Joseph Kennedy, the father of late U.S. President John F. Kennedy, once said, "When the going gets tough, the tough gets going." Good spiritual leaders or followers of Christ must have that kind of attitude. When the going gets tough, the tough should get going. If your critics are listening to the voice of God, then you need to listen to them, listen to what they're saying. Yes, you need to. But if they are not, you need to stand firm on his will. Let me share a background on this, a short background of this story. In Israel, there were piles of broken stones and bricks after King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon destroyed their nation to the ground. And Nehemiah and his fellow countrymen were building it back in the face of that opposition. They were engaged in a serious work. In fact, the future of Jerusalem and of Israel depends on the successful completion of that project. And why was it important to rebuild the wall? What's the importance, the significance of rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem? Lack of fortified walls around the city left the people exposed to great trouble and shame. A city with broken walls revealed a defeated people. But a city with walls rebuilt, that means the blessing of God is there. God's blessings and presence. The walls provide protection, and at the same time, it provides dignity. And the reason I choose this passage, because it parallels with us today. It parallels with our church today. Just as Nehemiah was dealing with people who wanted to hinder his plan of building the walls of Jerusalem, this passage provides valuable illustration and lessons for those who are involved in the work of the Lord, and not only those who are involved, but also to those who resolve to do something in their lives to honor and glorify God. So this message is applicable to all of us. And I would like to share to you biblical lessons that are applicable to us today as we conquer criticisms. So the first lesson here is found in verses 1 and 2. We need to know the strategy of our enemy. Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. Now when Sanballat, he was the governor of Samaria, when Sanballat heard that we were building the wall, he was angry and greatly enraged, and he jeered at the Jews, and he said in the presence of his brothers and of the army of Samaria, "What are these feeble Jews doing? Will they restore it for themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they finish up in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of rubbish and burn ones at that?" Do you ever notice that every time you want to rebuild something good in your life or in the ministry, there will always be somebody who wants to tear it down? A great preacher once said, "There's never been a good work that has not been met with opposition." Prophets and apostles and martyrs, missionaries experience it. There's opposition. Let me illustrate this. When something put a rattlesnake in danger, what will happen? Its tail, if it senses some danger, its tail rattles. It makes a sound, ready to strike. The same with our enemy. If you are doing good for the glory of God, the devil don't like it. It will put him in danger. He will roar at you. Believe me, he will roar at you. On the contrary, if you cannot make the devil roar, that means you are not doing him much harm. You're a harmless Christian. Don't worry. He's not in the watch list. But if you're doing something for God, the enemy is there, ready to strike, to attack you. Anytime you are determined to do something good for God, there will always be those who are ready to criticize what you do. But do not let them discourage you or hinder you. Just go on for God. Some of the Lord's best workers, like Apostle Paul, Apostle Peter, Prophet Isaiah, Jeremiah, our patriarch Moses, and even Christ himself, they were criticized. So when you are criticized, PTL, praise the Lord, you are in a good company. You belong to the club. Jesus said in one of his sermon, in the Sermon on the Mount, "Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you," but take note, "because of me," not because of your sin, of your mistakes, but "because of me, people persecute you." Also in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 14, if you are insulted for the name, for the name of Christ, you are blessed. Because the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. You are persecuted because of me and in my name. So we read here in verses 1 and 2. Sanballat is making fun of Nehemiah and the Jews who were rebuilding the destroyed wall. He was mocking them. Now the lesson is, if it makes others happy to mock us while we are working for the glory of God, let them do it. It should not bother us. It's so disappointing to see good Christians give up their work, their plans, because of the ridicule of the enemy. Enemies. They gave up. Discouraged. You know, criticism and ridicule are a natural part of the Christian life. Chuck Swindoll once said, if you do not have tough skin, then you won't become an effective servant of God. That's why he coined this phrase, Christians should have the thick skin and a soft heart. Thick skin. Ano? What's thick skin? Makapal ang... Makapal ang balat, pero malambot ang puso. You need to have the thick skin and soft heart. Thick skin means you accept criticism. Learn to accept. Quick to forgive. Overlook offenses. And at the same time, you have that patience and that compassionate heart. Thick skin and soft heart. You know, our enemies work so hard to discourage us with their words. That's the strategy of our enemy. Using verbal attack, criticisms, ridicule. And Sanballat tried to discourage them here, discourage them by from finishing the wall by saying, are you going to be able to finish that? He tries to get them to doubt that they can finish what they are starting. Same with our enemies. We'll try to get us to doubt that we can finish what we started. Our enemies will try to get us to doubt our calling and our work and say, you cannot do it. Whatever ministry you are involved, and whenever you are involved, don't give up. Though you hear somebody, you're not worthy of it, you better quit. Even if you resolve something good, desire to obey God. That's part of the cost of discipleship. Hindrances and obstacles. There, for sure, it will happen. Tobiah, the Ammonite, there's another guy here, Sanballat, and here's Tobiah, the Ammonite, who was at his side. In verse 3, he said, yes, what they are building, if a fox goes up on it, he will break down their stone wall. Oh, that's exaggerated, right? The walls were made of what? Made of bricks. Stone walls, not cardboards or styrofoams. You know, that's our enemy's tactics. Discourage us. Throwing criticisms, ridicule to discourage us. Making up stories and exaggerations. Not only Sanballat, but here's a guy, Tobiah the Ammonite, joining in on ridiculing the Jews. You can be sure where there is a bad guy, there is another one nearby. It's not alone. Sidekick is important. Batman has Robin. Lone Ranger, he's supposed to be alone, right? But he's not alone. As a sidekick, what's the name? Tonto. In Tagalog, it's Tonto. Even Dolphy has Panchito. Right? So if the good guys and superheroes need one, the bad guys need them too. The more they need it. Somebody said, evil people like wolves, like to run in packs. They're like wolves. They need company. And we read in this chapter how they conspired together to fight against Jerusalem. Look at verse 8. And they plotted all together. Look at the phrase there. Plotted together to come and fight against Jerusalem and to cause confusion in it. This phrase, plotted together, it appears also in Matthew chapter 26, verse 4, during the time of Christ when they desire to arrest and kill Jesus Christ. Matthew 26, verse 4. And plotted together in order to arrest Jesus by stealth and kill him. Plotted together. Here in the Old Testament, during Nehemiah's time, the enemies were plotting together. In the New Testament, they plotted together. The chief priests, the elders, conspired to arrest and kill Jesus Christ. It never ceases to amaze me how unified evil people can be. Isn't that scary to think? They were so united. It's fascinating that the masters of division are never divided themselves. I hate to admit it, but unfortunately, hatred is a great unifying force. It's a unifying force. Hatred? You never hear of any division among the demons in hell. Have you? Is there a passage that they were fighting one another, against one another? But you read passages that Christians were divided, arguing, complaining with one another. 1 Corinthians, for example, there were divisions, right? But not our enemies. It's scary. They like to divide us into factions, but there are no factions among themselves. Unfortunately, it seems they are more unified than the church. It's so sad if it's true. Can you imagine the great things that could be accomplished if we were as united in the service of God? If we are united in the service of God as wicked men are in their service to their master, Satan. This leads me to our second lesson. By the way, first point is we need to know the strategy of our enemy. The second one, we must work together in unity. Why we need unity? First, because of criticisms, verses 1 to 3. We read that passage. Sanballat and Tobiah, the Ammonite, criticized the Jews and Nehemiah. The enemies mocked and ridiculed the work they were attempting to do. And we might as well encounter it. Anytime you are determined to do something for the glory of God, there will be those who are ready to criticize what you do. But said, don't let that crowd discourage you. Just go on for God. Don't stop and give up. Nike, just do it. Just do it. Go on for God. Because discouragement will stop you from doing what you are supposed to do. And discouragement is not only dangerous, but it's also contagious. You know that? Dangerous, but also contagious. If you always listen to them instead of listening to God, soon you will be one of them. It's highly contagious. It's like STD. Spiritually transmitted. It's dangerous. Let me give you a story. There was a man. He was about to jump off the bridge. He wanted to commit suicide. He was about to jump off the bridge when a police officer caught him just in the nick of time. He's about to jump, but the police officer caught him. The man was angry and said, "Don't you know I have nothing to live for? Why would you stop me from taking my own life?" The police officer answered, "How about this? For 5 minutes, you tell all the reason why you don't want to live. And for 5 minutes, I will also tell you the reasons I think you should leave. So they talk together. And after 10 minutes, the officer was able to relate to the man's heartaches and disappointments in life. And it seems like they have the same experience and struggles. The police officer looked so sad and dismayed after that conversation. Then he held the man's hand and said, "Okay, brother, let's jump together." It's contagious. It's a funny story, but it's true. Listen to them. Those who are discouraged talking negative things, you always listen to them instead of listening to God. Soon you will become one of them. And they will do everything they can to convince you, right? They will do their best. They need sidekicks. So we need unity because of criticism. Second, because of conspiracy. Verse 7 and 8. But when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabs and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the repairing of the walls of Jerusalem was going forward and that the breaches were beginning to be closed, they were very angry. And they all those names there and people, plotted together to come and fight against Jerusalem and to cause confusion in it. Cause confusion. There were people here involved in this conspiracy. Who are they? Sanballat and the Samaritans. Sanballat, as I said, he was the governor of Samaria. They were from northern part of Jerusalem. Sanballat and the Samaritans. There's Tobiah and the Ammonites. They were from east part of Jerusalem. North, east. And then the Arabs. Where? South. Southern part. And there's Ashdodites. From where? From west. So they were being threatened from every direction. North, south, east, west. And the enemies planned how to stop them by all means. There will be those who would love to see us fail. There will be those on the outside in every direction who will plot, conspire against us. Therefore, be on your guard. We need unity because of criticism. There's conspiracy, and the last one, 10 to 12 of chapter 4, because of complaints. Because of complaints. 10 to 11. In Judah, it was said, the strength of those who bear the burdens is failing. There is too much rubble. By ourselves, we will not be able to rebuild the wall. And our enemies said, they will not know or see till we come among them and kill them and stop the work. So the builders, some of them, complained. It's one thing when the enemy attacks your work, attack from without. But it's another when attack arises from within, from inside. That's harder. People who will not be satisfied with anything you do. People who can't find a good word to say about the things that you do. People who always complain, they murmur and grumble. And your efforts and motives will be brought into question, and everything you do will be scrutinized by them. But you need to remember, your duty is not to please the critics and the complainers. That is not your duty. Huh? Your duty is to please the Lord. You cannot please everybody. Jesus Christ never aimed that during his ministry. Better to work for one than to work for 100,000. It's hard. Work for one, our master. Amen. Amen. Colossians chapter 3, 23 to 24. Whatever you do, work heartily. As for who? for the Lord and not for men. And then, knowing that from the Lord, you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ, Jesus Christ. Work heartily for the Lord, not for men. If you do that, nothing can stop us. And it's here in Nehemiah chapter 4, the same thing. Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 6. So we built the wall, and all the wall was joined together to half its height, for the people had a mind to work. Or people, they work with all their heart, in my translation. Bound together by brotherly love, you may defy almost every mortal danger, but divided, you will fall prey to your enemies. There's a saying, goes like this: united we stand, divided we fall. It's true. Even the wise men in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 12 says, a cord of three strands is not quickly broken. In one of Aesop's fables, you know Aesop's fables, right? He describes an old man who had several sons who were always having disagreement with one another. He tried everything. He tried in vain to get his sons to reconcile and live in harmony. So one day he called them together. He gathered them, and he also gathered a bundle of sticks. And then he tied them together and asked them, each one of them, to try to break the bundle of sticks. Each one tried as hard as they could, but none of them could break the bundle of sticks. So then the father cut the cord that tied the sticks together and told his sons to break them separately. He handed them single stick, each one of them. They were able to break it easily. It's easy. Then the old man said, "See, my sons, that's the power of unity." The power of unity. The reason that so much progress was made during Nehemiah's day is not only because they were all unified, not only they were all unified in getting the task accomplished, but because they were all equally determined to get it done. The people worked with all their heart. If you want to see greater good accomplished, then we have to work together. Work together. But there is nothing impossible for those who work together with all their hearts. The more accomplishment will happen if not only you work together, but also you work together with all your heart. You know, the people who were unified in building the Tower of Babel. No doubt it was an evil project, right? It was a project motivated by pride. They want to build a tower that would reach heaven. But even God said in Genesis chapter 11, verse 6, the Lord said, "Behold, they are one people, and they have all one language, and this is only the beginning of what we will do. And nothing that they propose to do will now be impossible for them." This is an evil plan, but God said, because these people have the mind to work, they are united, it's not impossible for them to build it. If we work together for the good, for his glory and honor, then what is impossible for us? Nothing, right? However, what tends to happen is that others are working against each other instead of working with each other. That's what makes the task so hard to accomplish, that instead of working with, some people will work against. there were two boys riding a tandem bicycle. You know tandem bicycle? It's a bicycle with two seats, two pedals that both riders can pedal. So they came to a steep hill. It was a great struggle to reach the top of the hill. And finally, when they made it to the top, the boy in front turned to the other and said, "Wow, that was a tough hill to climb." I said, "Wasn't it?" Then the boy was at the back answered, "Oh yeah, you're right. And if I had not kept the brakes on all the way, we would certainly have rolled down backwards." The boy at the front kept pedaling. But the boy at the back kept the brakes on because he was thinking, "We will fall down." I wonder how many of us are working against our interests. I wonder how many of us here is against the interest of our church. You want to move forward or you want to roll backward, keeping the brakes on? Some people desire to climb while others kept the brakes on. You are either in the camp of Sanballat and Tobiah, or you are with Nehemiah. If you feel that you have been on the wrong side of the wall, I think it's a high time for you to wake up. Arise and build. You are not saved to destroy, but to build something that honors Him. It's not our job to destroy. And let's pray that those who are building God's kingdom, obeying Him, honoring God, will not be discouraged by the ridicule, criticism, and complaints from others. Let us be united in building and defending God's kingdom. Let's conquer enemies' attack. Let's conquer criticism. Is it possible? How? Let me share to you this, the verse 14. The last verse, Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 14. "And I looked and arose and said to the nobles and to the officials and to the rest of the people, 'Do not be afraid of them.'" Here's the key. "Remember the Lord who is great and awesome, and fight for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your homes." Yes, we can. We will be able to overcome. Remember the Lord. Trust Him. He will fight for you. It's not your battle. Trust Him. That's why if you notice here in the story, along in the middle of the criticism, they pray night and day while they prepare. And they always remember the Lord, great and awesome. And fight for your brethren. Fight for our brethren here in GBC, and fight for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wives, your homes. Fight for your family. Fight for them. Fight for your faith. And by that, we'll be able to conquer criticisms. Let's pray.